You gotta love it. My name is DJ Q89 out the Midwest, and you're now tuned in with Doug Sims Live.
Doug Sims Live, hanging in the studio with me is DJ Q89, one of the youngest DJs to start off in radio. Tell me how you got your start in radio.
Man, I started off in radio as an intern, just taking out the trash and cleaning the bathroom and stuff at 103.7 The Beat. So I started when I was 15, 16 at 103 as an intern. Chris Miles got me in there. And that's how I had the opportunity to meet PA and Rosie. Rosie did an interview for me, and you know, I was just a kid just job shadowing Hitman and Rosie and PA. And then a couple of years into it, I say about maybe a year into it, Hitman was the DJ for 103. He ended up going off to college. So me kind of following what he was doing, I kind of got more into editing songs and commercials and stuff like that. So I started getting more into that.
Okay. So you started off at the age of?
Like 15, 16.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah. So you like one of the youngest DJs. Yeah, in the area. What about in the nation too, right?
Yeah, in the nation I was titled that. Yeah, yeah. Right. A lot of people say I was the youngest DJ on radio.
Wow.
So I was that for almost, I say almost 2 years.
Right. Oh, that's pretty awesome right there.
You ever had an interview with, was it Hood Illustrated?
Yeah.
Out of Lansing.
Yeah.
He interviewed me about being the youngest DJ on radio.
And, okay.
You know, that's how I hooked up with LAD Law, the Dark Man.
Yeah. And
from Grand Rapids, Willie the Kid, T-Dog, all the OGs and all the artists that was in the area, because they, you know, I'm in high school.
Right.
So everybody want that market. Everybody want that high school and college market.
Right, right.
So
right.
It's like, all right, we can give our music to the young DJ, you okay. know, to push it at all the house parties, basement parties and stuff right. he doing.
Okay.
They got a new market.
Yeah, definitely. So starting off as an intern at the radio station, did you always want to be a DJ, or what inspired you to be a DJ?
Well, I had a love for music. My older brother, Joe Brown, he used to make beats. So his room was upstairs, my room was downstairs. So while he was always upstairs making beats, I would be downstairs with CDs trying to play the song at the same exact time he's playing without him noticing it. Yeah, so he had start a beat. He don't know I'm doing it.
Okay.
So he'll start a beat. I'll probably play like a Chris Brown acapella. And then he'll cut it off. So then one time I just got irritated. You know, I'm like, man, he don't never let it just go on. Mm. So I went upstairs. I'm like, listen to this. He came downstairs. He was making a beat, and I had the acapella for Chris Brown, Kiss Kiss. You know, so he saw what I was doing, and we kind of played around a little bit and stuff like that. So that's how I got into it. So more about blending.
Right.
Then it got me into the party scene. My best friend, shout out to Keyshawn. She was somebody that liked to go to parties. She wanted to go to this party, and she didn't want to go by herself. And she was like, hey, why don't you go to this party with me? I need somebody to go with. So, you know, she asked my mom. My mom let me go. So as I was there, I was at a little party at a place called The Studio on Broadway that was organized by Chris Miles and DJ Suki One. So while I'm there, they got a DJ in there. He just, you know, at this time, it's CDs.
Right.
Ain't no computer. You just got a whole book of CDs. I'm from that era. So he just mixing the CDs. So I'm like, oh, let me go home. I stayed literally down the street. I just grabbed my box of CDs, came back. And he left the DJ booth. You know, he wanted to be out there dancing. And, you know, so the song cutting off, I ain't doing nothing. So I'm like, hey, let me DJ. I got my CDs. So he let me go ahead. That's when Lil Jon and the East Side Boys is out. So I just start playing that. And after that, somebody else asked me. They're like, hey, I got a basement party going on. You know, if I pay you this, can you DJ? Yeah, I can. You know, it's probably only like 20 or 50 bucks. But, you know, 16 years old,
right,
15,
exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so I went home, got my mama's house speakers, you know, with the wires, the red and the red and black wires and stuff, showed up to the house party. And, yeah, I DJed with my CDs for a while.
Wow.
Yep, asked the guy, can I use his CDJs?
Okay, yep. Yeah, CDJs, yep.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Wow. So I want to know about Q89. Tell me how you came up with Q89.
Okay, Q89, so you remember me when I was younger,
yeah.
You know, because I used to come to a lot of events you was DJing at, and you kind of showed me the ropes of the Q button, you know, that's what this dude, you know, and at that time I was just, I think DJ Snoop,
Snoop.
DJ Snoop. Yeah. I was DJ Snoop, and my uncle Talan, I was getting ready to graduate high school, and he was like, "Man, you gotta take some professional pictures and stuff." Of course, I took it with you, and I think that's around the time he came up with my DJ name.
Wow.
Yep. Because he was looking at the pictures, and we was like, "You can't go by DJ Snoop, because when you put that in Google, a lot of DJ Snoops pop up."
Yeah.
You know, so you got to be original and stuff like that. So then I had this mixer. It was a mixer he gave me. It was like the 89 mixer.
Okay.
And we was at Angel's shop on Peck Street. I remember that. We was all sitting there. I came in and showed him a mixer, what I can do with it and stuff like that. And I was like, "You use this button to cue up the next song." He was like, "Yee, Q89.
Wow. But what's the 89?
The 89 was the name of the mixer. It was like an 89 mixer.
89 mixer. Yeah.
When I said, "Watch this, how you cue it up," and right, it had 89 right there. He was Q89. But then we thought about it, like, okay, Q is the last letter of my name. You know, it's the letter of my last name.
Right.
And then 89 was the year I was born in.
Wow.
But it originally came from the 89 mixer. Okay. And me talking about curing it on this mixer.
Wow.
And that's when he was laughing, like, "Ooh, Q89. And we just went with it. It was like, DJ Q89.
That's interesting. Okay, so in the studio, I got my main man, DJ Q89. So you've been in the mixing arena for quite a while. And what has been the biggest challenges you faced in your career?
The social part. You know, I was very not talkative. You know, I love the music, you know, but I know as a DJ, you got to talk to people. You know, so it was a couple times, you know, I'd be shouting the mic, and that's when I started watching 1204 T-Dog.
Okay, yeah.
You know, he brought a lot of energy. You know, you can mix songs all you want pretty good, but if you don't talk to the crowd,
right,
it's not the same energy.
Right.
So I kind of watched him being an MC, bringing the energy at the parties. He'd come up to me, me and him be arguing. "Oh, you gotta play this one next. If you play this, I'm gonna say this. And soon as I say this, you drop it."
Okay.
So
okay.
You know, so after a while, I started had to get more comfortable because he wasn't always around. He was doing his own thing sometimes.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I gotta learn how to talk.
Right.
I gotta learn how to MC.
Right.
You know, so I sound different on the mic at the parties than I do right now talking in front of you.
Right.
You know, so then you deal with the networking part. You know, you always has to be somewhere. Always when you're DJing.
Right.
You know, you gotta make everybody happy. You know, you got people that know you but don't know you.
Right.
They see you at parties.
They see you.
But they don't know you personally.
Right.
So they feel like when they see you, they obligated to get in the party free.
Yes.
And sometimes you got to tell them no. And when you tell, it's mostly women, you tell them no, they get mad. So that's the biggest part, you know, the social part.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Are there any DJs that influence your style?
Influence my style.
Or your approach to music?
I would say you was one of them, DJ Metro.
Okay.
Yep, you was one of them. Hitman, DJ Drama.
Okay.
You know, DJ Drama used to be in this market a lot, so I used to watch him. He the one who gave me the idea of having my own tag.
Okay, yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
My logo was created by you. You know, my first logo was created by you. Then I recently had a new logo that was created by Chilla Patilla.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, the look.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
Little man.
Oh, that's Chilla Man. Yeah.
So, I, you know, taking a little styles from every DJ that came up with, you know, the mixtape DJ. So, I got into hosting more mixtapes, trying to get a lot of local artists. So, something that I used to do, a lot of people didn't know. It used to be a club called the VFW.
Was
it on Broadway?
Broadway.
Yeah, so I used to go down there and you have the local artists out there passing out these CDs. And you know, you got some people that's petty out there that hate, they might throw the CDs out on the ground. I used to be the guy that pick up them CDs.
Okay.
And take them home and I listen to the whole CD.
Really?
And I pick, if they might have like 12 or 15 songs on the CD, I listen to the whole thing and pick maybe one or two songs that I felt was the best. Then I would take those songs and I make my own CD and make it a mixtape. So I had a couple of them like that was on Dat Piff and live mixtapes and
right.
You know,
I forgot about Dat Piff.
Yep. So I started doing that, and that's when I met DJ Drummer in Grand Rapids in Holland, and he had the Gangsta Grizzels tag, right, and affiliates and DJ Drummer and all that. I was like, man, I need my own tag.
And that's when you came up with...
I came up with the tag of a guy in Duval, Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
So he connected with me on Dat Piff. His name was Lil Man from Duval. He had a mixtape that was coming out. And he was like, yeah, I want you to host my mixtape. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm like, can you do me a drop real quick? He did the drop. And my family from the country. Mm-hmm. A lot of my family from Arkansas. So when he did it, he said Q89 kind of different from how everybody else. And then, so I had two of them. Then I had a friend of mine, her name was Denitra Payne. She came in there and said my name. You know, so I had a girl version of somebody saying DJ name. And then I had a guy version of Q89. Then I had I needed a younger person's voice at the time. So I had a young girl, her name was Imani. She said, you gotta love it. And I was like, I like that.
That's where you, okay.
Because you had the DJ Drama, then you had the Gangsta Grizzels.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I will need to have the Q89, and then I need something to go after that.
Right.
You know, so I had the Q89, then I had the You Gotta Love It.
That is your tag, man. That's smoking, though.
Yeah, thank you.
That's smoking. I mean, that's so catchy.
Yeah,
I think every time I hear one of your mixes coming in, you gotta love it. Q89.
It's not too long.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's the perfect drop, actually.
Because if it's a song you like, you gotta love it. Like, yeah, it's a song that's hard. I hit the You Gotta Love It, especially if it's a new song that's coming out and it's banging. I would hit that You Gotta Love It tag.
Wow. So make sure you guys keep it locked right here. We'll be right back with DJ Q89. Back in the building, still hanging out with me is DJ Q89. So let me ask you this. What's your favorite genre to mix?
R&B.
R&B.
I love mixing R&B because you can mix some of the older R&B with the newer R&B.
Right.
You know, because they're taking the samples.
Right.
So it makes you really think. You know, when you're hearing a song from the Isley Brothers from the 70s and 80s, and then it's a song in the 2010s that this is we mixed it. It makes you go back in the crates. You'd be like, you know what? When I do my mix, I'm going to mix these two together.
Right.
Yeah, so I love mixing R&B.
Okay, R&B. Cool. Now, what has been your most memorable performance so far? You know, I know you do a lot of concerts. So what's one that stands out?
Actually, the one that stand out was the one that I had a computer glitch.
Really?
That's because it taught me a lot.
Okay.
That one stood out the most because it made me to be prepared for anything. And it was a lot of things that happened that night. I was DJing the intersection.
Right, intersection, okay,
yeah. Intersection in Grand Rapids. The one thing I did correctly, I already had my DJ equipment in the car. I wasn't even booked the DJ. I wasn't even booked the DJ at all. So I got there, one guy was like, man, you a DJ, are you? I'm like, yeah. He's like, you got your stuff with you? Our house DJ didn't show up.
Really?
I'm like, really? I'm like, yeah, I got it. He was like, all right, man, hook up. So I hook up, you know. So I'm playing music. Chief Keef was booked to be the headliner. He's coming from Chicago. He didn't realize Chicago's an hour behind. So he's an hour late. They had just got done with all the opening acts.
Mm.
So there's no more opening acts. It's just me for another extra hour DJing.
Right.
So that's a lot of pressure. And then the intersection hold about 1,200 people.
Right.
Full house. That was the first time I ever been on stage with no T-Dog, no MC, just
you.
Me, yeah, on stage in front of 12,000 people. So, on that note, because I wasn't really prepped to DJ, I forgot my laptop.
Gotcha.
So, I'm looking at my laptop. It's going dead. So, now I'm panicking. DJing, trying to figure out things to say. And so I'm on the stage texting the manager of the intersection. I need a power cord. The sound guy had him. He had the same similar laptop as me.
Okay.
12,000 people. And I have to wait for him to get out the sound booth through the crowd to get to me. It's about 5% left on this laptop.
Ooh, it's going down.
Oh, laptop went down. Laptop went down. So soon it went down, he's on stage. So now I got like, now I got to talk. Now I have to think quick. So now everybody chanting, Chief Keef, so. And these are real fans, you know. So this one I had to get out my bag and be like, you know what? Get out my shyness. And Big Rob, he always told me, DJs always got to talk trash. And I'm like,
right, right.
Always talk trash, you know. And that's what I had to do. I got on there, I was like, hey, let y'all know. Y'all know y'all effed up. Because I was never a cursing type of person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I had to cuss, you know. Hey, you know, y'all know y'all effed up by coming to a Chief Keef concert, knowing he's going to be late.
Right.
Y'all know how these rappers do. Hey, y'all ready for a good time? Make some noise. They made some noise. I'm like, where my college students at?
Okay, I got you.
You know.
I got you.
Who represent the best college out here? Where Grand Valley at? Where Ferris State at? Where is it? Man, I'm shining out every high school, college out there till my computer booted back up. So then the guy was like, hey, man, tell him stop smoking. I ain't want to sound lame being a DJ to be like, hey, man, y'all got to put the weed out and this. So I was like, look, where my weed smokers at? They all start clapping, you know, getting hype. I'm like, if you got a blunt in your hand, let me see y'all put y'all blunts up in the sky. Security guard like, what you doing? I'm like, nah, look, you about to see who's smoking. They all put their blunts up in the sky. I'm like, I need y'all all to do me one quick favor. Puff it one more time and put it out. And they all listen.
Okay, cool.
Everybody thought that was cool. That was the best way how to tell people to stop smoking.
Right.
Because they was going to hit the blunt one more time anyway.
Anyway. Yeah.
If you told them to stop smoking.
Yeah.
Wow. So that was one of my most memory of DJing, like, because it taught me a lot.
Yeah. Okay, cool. DJ Metro kicking it with DJ Q89. Keep it locked. Back in the building, DJ Metro got Q89. Let me ask you this. What is the preferred venue? Do you like a large venue, intimate venue? What do you like to play at?
Kind of like the smaller venues. You know, because now you interacting with people and you get more gigs off of it. You know, I would pick, even though I love the nightclubs, you know, I do love the weddings and the corporate events because you can actually talk to people and it's honestly less work.
Right.
Yeah.
it's less work.
It's less work and the pay better, you know, and yeah, the pay better. And you can network with a lot of positive people. In the nightclubs, when it's a big atmosphere, you're dealing with people that's drunk and they're not going to remember who you are when they leave out of there.
Right.
You know?
Huh. So let me ask you this. What's a lesser known fact about you that your fans might not know about you?
A lesser known fact. I mean, I don't got no kids.
it could be just anything. Anything about you that the average person that's a fan of yours that they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, where, like you said.
Well, you know what? I found out just this past weekend I was in Benton Harbor DJing. I had a 19-year-old come up to me. And he was like, man, you've been doing big stuff lately, man. He just stepped on the scene. Mm. So I'm like, man, I've been DJing for like almost 10, 15 years. He like, what, really? You know? He was like, man, I ain't start hearing about you until this year. And I was like, because you just stepped on the scene.
Right, exactly.
Like, I've been on this scene, bro. So he was like, well, what's your Instagram? And he was like, I produce music too and stuff. I'm like, I edit. So I think one less fact, a lot of people know that I actually edit a lot of artists' music.
Mm.
You know, I've been in the studios with some big names today. It's like Sada Baby.
Right.
Jacrees. Which homie Quan. So I've been in a lot of places with them, you know, and talk behind the scene, like with no camera, with no interviews, nothing recording, just us talking about the business. And I learned a lot from them, you know, how the business worked. And yeah, I think that's one of the unknown facts. A lot of people know that I actually work with a lot of artists.
Right.
Even sometimes when they do these tours, they would call me for advice. Like, how you think I should come out? What's the first song you think I should come out to?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. A lot of them would ask me when they come to this market, you know, to help me put together they set.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. On. That's interesting. Okay. So, with that being said, what do you think sets you apart in a highly competitive world of DJs?
That part, you know, because you get a lot of DJs, they just want to play music and, you know, do the parties, but they don't understand the business part of it. You know, you got to be able to, you know, I don't make beats. You got some DJs that make beats, but I got a little mentee. I've been telling him, like, you got to have your business together. Like, you get that EIN number. You know, being a DJ is a business. Learn how to write your equipment off. You know, your DJ mixer, your music that you bought, your clothes. If you got booked out of town, your mileage, your hotel. You can write all that stuff off, but you got to have a business as an EIN number first.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's a separation where a lot of DJs, you know, they look at that as extra money, but it's really some talented DJs out here that can go full time with it.
Right.
You know, and they don't understand, like, you can't always just take this money. Just like you as a camera person, you know, when you take the pictures, you gotta get the money to invest into better equipment to get bigger gigs.
Right.
And you gotta do that as a DJ too.
Okay. Now, how has DJing industries changed since you started? And where do you see it going in the next 5 years?
Man, as equipment, like I said, I started with the CDs. Before that was the records, the racks, you know. And now it's getting to the part with AI coming in. Mm-hmm. You know, with the new softwares and AI studying these DJs' mixes. So now it's a software that AI would study while you DJing. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So it would literally study how you DJing. So, like, if you're having a party, if you got speakers and you got a computer, you can say, I want my party to be played like how DJ Q89 make the mix. And the AI would pick it up and see what songs fit best with your music selection. Yeah, it's crazy. People DJing off their phones now.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
You got Apple Music, you know. Like, it used to be people buy CDs. Nobody buying CDs no more, so it's making the sales. You know, it used to be easy to go gold.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's so tough to go gold in your music now.
Right.
Because you need, what you need, like 2 million views or something like that to count as one sale?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy the way that you have to get, like you said, a mass amount of views,
yeah,
just to get it to count one time.
Yep.
You know,
and then you, as a DJ, now you really have to study because it's too many platforms out here. Back then, you had one platform. What was the site? LimeWire?
LimeWire, yeah.
Where we used to get music off of. Or, right. Or the mixtapes. Go up to Soup Shop, your local mixtape store. You know, you have to go down south to get that CD from another DJ. Mm-hmm. That's when a lot of DJs was working together. Hey, who hot down there? Or who hot up there?
Right.
You don't really got that.
Right.
And now you got TikTok. You got a song that might be famous on TikTok in a whole nother market. So, like, if I DJ in... And it's so crazy being here in Muskegon. Muskegon got a whole different style of music than other cities.
Right. Right.
So somebody that might be hot in Michigan might not be hot in Ohio.
Right.
Or Indiana.
It's kind of like in the South. If you go to Atlanta or somewhere down south,
yeah,
their music is totally different,
yeah,
than what's up here in the North.
Yeah.
You know, so you go down, like you say, you go down there thinking you about to bang out.
Yeah.
And they looking at you like, well, we don't listen to that kind of music.
And it had me think now, because since I'm the program director for 103, mm-hmm, I really have to think of what the high school kids listen to, what the college kids listen to, and what the grown folks are listening to. Right. Then you still got to break that down, because you got some college students that might just listen to R&B.
Right.
Or, I can't stand this, somebody called me, they're like, man, you playing all the TikTok hits on radio. I'm like, what's a TikTok hit? I didn't even know this song was on TikTok.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so now you got people that, and it was just like us when YouTube first came out.
Right.
Oh man, that song hot on YouTube. And I remember I was talking to PA, and he had asked me about some music. What's some hot music y'all listen to? I had introduced him to Soulja Boy.
Okay, yeah.
Told him about Soulja Boy about maybe a year before Soulja Boy even got on radio.
Okay.
I'm like, everybody listen to Soulja Boy, crank that. And you know, when Crank That first came out, before Collie Park got into it, it was distorted. So all our music we was listening to at the basement parties was distorted sounding.
Right.
It's like, man, we're not playing that. That's not hot. We're not playing that. I'm like, it's the hottest thing out. You're like, you asked me what's hot.
Right.
This is what we listening to. This is what y'all listening to? Yeah. He wouldn't play it. So then Gucci Mane and Plies came out with Wasted.
Okay, yeah.
You know. And, you know, he's older. He's still catering to, you know, he in his 30s and 40s. He's still catering to that age group because they actually the ones that's actually buying the music.
Okay, yeah.
Us young folks ain't buying the music. Right. We downloading off YouTube.
Right.
You know. So he's looking at the charts. Kids don't care about what's on that chart.
Right.
You know, so I tell him about Gucci Mane, you know, and OJ Juice Mane and all them. And they coming out. And he was like, no, I don't want to play that. That's not hot.
They was banging.
Yeah, but not in his... In his age group,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So he played Snoop Dogg and Snoop Dogg Gin the Juice.
Okay.
This hot right here. I'm like, what's the difference? What's the difference from Gucci Mane, Plies, Wasted, and Snoop Dogg Gin the Juice?
Right.
And I think that's what opened his mindset. I'm like, what's the difference from Soulja Boy and Tootsie Roll?
Right.
You know? And then what's the difference from the Stanky Leg? And then you had Two Live Crew that came out with Hoochie Mama.
Right.
And what was the thing y'all used to go down in Atlanta? The Freaknik.
The Freaknik, yeah.
What was the difference?
He had to see it another way.
So now by me being older, I can't be biased. Mm-hmm. So when the younger generation be like, this song is hot, even though it sound like trash.
Right. But that's what they're listening to.
That's what they listen to.
That's what they're
so
listening to.
So as me being older, now you have to gravitate towards those younger artists and be like, you know what? What I got to do to have you talk to these kids?
Right.
Because that's who y'all looking up to. You know, so go back to the question of what separated me. Some things that I used to do, like when Sada Baby, Icewear, Vezo, and all them, when they was coming up in their career, I had them come to Muskegon and do meet and greets for kids. You know, hey, just tell them to go to school, because if I tell them, or PA or Big Y tell them to go to school, they might not listen.
Right.
You know, but if this rapper, they look up to, be like, hey, man, little homie, make sure you go to school. They gonna listen. So using the power of a DJ to educate the community, that can be a separation of what the other DJs should be stepping up doing.
Okay. All right, guys, keep it locked right here. We'll be back with more of Q89. All right, back in the building with Q89. Quick question for you. Are there any exciting projects, collaborations, or goals that you're currently working on or hope to achieve soon?
One thing that I'm working on, I want to work on some of the younger DJs. I got about 3-4 young DJs that I've been mentoring. I want to form like a DJ group. You know, I don't want to talk too much about it, but it will be a nonprofit.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, it's gonna be DJs educating the community through the music.
Oh.
Yep, doing community outreaches and stuff like that. But I wanna put together so that's one of my projects. I wanna put together some DJs that can do that. Some other projects, you know, I'm getting older, you know, so I wanna book those DJs to DJ more in the college field. Cause I don't wanna be there forever.
Right.
You know, I can't be there forever.
Right.
So I'm working on a deal with a university to try to be a event advisory to kind of help the young students how to plan events, how to put together, you know, fashion shows, concerts. If they want to be a DJ or they want to be a manager, it's so much stuff in this entertainment field that you can learn.
Right.
Even with the movies, they use DJs for some of the movies. You know, hey, what song fit this scene best?
Right.
You know? So those are some little things I've been looking forward to working with. Joining boards. So I'm on a board for Family Financial Credit Union.
Okay.
To learn about finance and how the credit union works.
Smart.
And then I'm on a board for Lecture Legacy Project.
Okay.
Which Lecture Legacy Project, we help put together events in the community for free. So it's for the less fortunate that can't afford to go to events.
Right.
So we do the Trunk or Treat.
Right.
We does the Christmas glow lights downtown Muskegon.
Okay.
And we do the New Year's Eve bar drop.
Oh yeah.
You know, that so that's coming up. All that is free. You know.
Really?
Yep. Get support from the businesses downtown Muskegon and Muskegon County to help put these events on.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Plus working for 103.7 with all the good things West Michigan Community Help Network do for the community.
Gotcha. Now, if you could DJ any event or venue in the world, where would it be?
Any event. Man, you know what? I would love to go on a full tour. Like, okay. So I done DJ like tour dates, like maybe, you know, some in this area.
Right.
But I would love to DJ a big arena tour.
Okay.
Yeah, move around the arena to arena and see how that goes.
That could be exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, that's something I would love to do. Some more festivals around here in Muskegon. You know, I love the downtown atmosphere. I wish I can get more into Grand Rapids, downtown Grand Rapids, and their, nightlife. So, I don't know, whatever metro they bring me, I would like to do.
Whatever they bring, you're going to take the challenge.
Yeah, take the challenge. I just can't do the basement parties no more.
So, I got about one or two more questions. So,
go ahead.
You being a radio DJ, you're the new fly jock because you go from city to city. A few different radio stations.
Yeah.
So you're the program director of 3, 4, 5 different stations. I don't know. So how does that travel work out for you? Because you're here. You're in Michigan. You're in Florida. You're in another part of Michigan.
Yeah.
So how does all that traveling fit in? Well, it has to fit in your schedule.
Yeah.
But how does that work for you?
It works good. Like, I mean, I don't have no kids. You know, I'm not married. And it's like whoever I date, and I think that's the tough part, is the dating. You know, some girls just don't understand the entertainment scene. I'm no celebrity, but you know how women play. Oh, I want to date a celebrity, somebody famous. You don't know what comes with it.
Right.
You know, you deals with, like I said, a lot of people that think they know you but don't know you. And a lot of people want to stand in the DJ booth. So I think traveling is easy. You just got to have a balanced schedule. You know, and whoever you with, they got to understand that, hey, if you get a call to go to this show,
right,
you got to go.
Right.
You know, if the station down in Bent Harbor, I got to go. You know, if it's down in 103 or something happening, I got to get up 2 o'clock in the morning. So you can do something you love to do. You don't think about it. I never complain about it.
Yeah.
You know, I love traveling, so I don't ever complain about it.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Just got to make sure my health is stay on point.
Because you go down to Florida and you may stay down there for a week and a half or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that gets tough because when you down there, when you go to another city like Florida and you network with people, Florida and bigger cities are so fast, you get a good networking of people and then you leave for a couple months and come back, everything different.
Right.
The club owner is a whole nother name now.
Right.
So it's like now you got to reinvent yourself.
Right.
But it teach you to come back into a smaller market, which you can do to bring that big city feeling here.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
So traveling, I would encourage people to go out there and travel, especially if you're in this entertainment scene. Don't just stay locked in here in Muskegon.
Okay.
The world is way bigger than just Muskegon.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
It definitely is. Speaking of that, where can the people find you? What's your social handles?
So my social media, Instagram, DJQ89. That's DJQ, the number 9. Yep. I was on a merge getting ready to rebrand myself and change the numbers into the letters.
Okay.
Yeah. Just all letters.
Right.
Because some people might say DJ89. 89. Yo, what up, DJQ89? You know, it's all the same, but
right.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about that, but yeah, social media handles. Instagram, DJQ89, Twitter, DJQ89, SoundCloud, everything DJQ89.
Okay.
Yeah, Facebook, DJQ89.
Okay.
Only thing that's different is TikTok. It's DJQ89 official, because it was somebody had DJQ89 in the Middle East.
Really?
Yeah. I type in DJQ89, he popped up, and he's a DJ.
That's funny.
And it's DJQ89.
Oh, wow.
Yep, and I inboxed him, and I was like, hey, man, you got the same DJ name as me. You know, I got my name trademarked, but it's like, I can't do nothing to that guy in the Middle East.
Right.
Yeah, because you can get different trademarks. You can get state, national, world.
Right.
I don't got the money
to be trying
to get it worldwide. Yeah.
Okay.
He do a whole different type of music that I don't do.
Right. Right.
Okay. He do the Arabian hip hop music.
Ooh.
So, Yeah. So me and him talk from time to time. He don't speak English, so I got to translate what he,
right,
what he do. But yeah, go ahead, walk my name down there.
Yeah. Rock it out. They come here looking for Q89.
But yeah, DJ Q89, I appreciate you having me.
Oh yeah, yeah, appreciate you coming to the station and hanging out with us and giving us some information and some education about some DJ. So we'll be looking forward for you to come back sometime in the near future.
Oh yeah.
Especially when you have a new project coming up, let us know about it.
Oh, most definitely. Thank you.